Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, tennis fans from around the globe. The following program is a presentation of the Yellow Ball Network.
What a shot!
Are we on?
Yep, we're on.
All right, let's go.
Broadcasting live from the Tennis Dynamics Studio in downtown Marietta, Georgia, this is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Your host for the show this week is J.P. Weber.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're here at the Georgia Tech and the Notre Dame tennis match here in Atlanta, Georgia, the Indoor Tennis Center. This would be kind of loud. We're hoping we can get a few people to call in today. It'd be great if we do. The number to call in is 646-652-4856. We are here. We're here, and I hope you can hear me. This is the first time I tried to do a live show at a tennis match, and we are still getting things set up. So we should be ready in just a second.
You go, Kenny!
Got everybody behind us here from the Notre Dame team. And so we hope this works. I'm hoping that we can get Lipka in here in a second. So before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Yellow Ball Network.
Hi, everyone. We are proud of the 2016 Marietta Grand Prix sponsor, HandmadeCharlotte.com. That's HandmadeCharlotte.com. Go to their website and discover the magic in everyday life. Find great do-it-yourself projects and learn about creative, family-oriented ideas for food, holidays, home interiors, and more one-of-a-kind finds. That's www.HandmadeCharlotte.com.
I can't think of a better place to go than Courtmakers.com for any of my court equipment needs. Any kind of equipment that you need for your club or facility. Windscreens, nets, net straps, benches, scoreboards. You can find all of this at Courtmakers.com. Or like them on Facebook and see all the latest stuff that they're doing in court construction, resurfacing, and lighting. That's Courtmakers.com, Courtmakers.com.
I am so pleased to have Resurgence Orthopedics as presenting sponsor for the 2016 Marietta Grand Prix. I've been using Resurgence myself for over 15 years. The doctors and staff at Resurgence are incredibly kind and capable. Anyone who's ever had to take care of me knows that I'm one of the worst patients in the world. And through several procedures, their team has always given me excellent care. The doctors and staff at Resurgence take the stress out of going to the doctor, as they are so patient and will spend whatever time is needed so you can feel confident in knowing you're going to get better. For example, I recently had a surgery, and during the post-operative rehab, I needed to be fitted for a brace. Both the doctor and the staff spent all kinds of time with me to help me get it right. I even had to go back for 2 follow-up visits to tweak it in order to have it adjusted, and they were happy to do it just right for me. Hey, and here's another thing, the Resurgence Patient Portal, which keeps me in constant contact with my doctors and the staff, even connects through the scales at my home. Resurgence has 21 locations throughout the metro Atlanta area. They provide patients with a full range of orthopedic, diagnostic, and rehabilitative services. Resurgence really is the best. Reach for more with Resurgence Orthopedics. Look them up on the web at resurgence.com.
Okay, we're broadcasting live here at the Georgia Tech Indoor Center. We've come here down here today is being played between Georgia Tech men and Georgia Tech women, and Georgia Tech men, Notre Dame men, and Georgia Tech won all three of the first doubles matches in their title. Let's see, at one, Eubanks, because Eubanks is looking really good. At one, he won. Two, looks like Tech won the first set. They're up. They're down in the second. Tech won at third, so they've got 3 points now. Tech is down in the second set at four, tied up at five, and tied up on court six in the second set. Doubles took about 15 minutes. And I've got my buddy Bruce Lipka here, the head coach at Woodmont Country Club in Maryland. Bruce, can you hear me?
I hear you, KT, and I hear a college match.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to hear you. I've got about 10 of these rabid Notre Dame. Looks like the guys that came on the trip with them, the rest of the roster down here. And it's an interesting match. I have to be convinced, though, that at some point in time they've got to switch back from this six-game no-ad set for doubles. The doubles lasted no more than 20 minutes, and it was over. Right now we're only about an hour and 30 minutes into the match, and it's just about over. Not much time left. Two of the singles matches are off, and Tech has won both of those, and they're trying to win. You know, if they win one more of these that are on the court now, they win the match. Any thoughts, Bruce?
Well, I guess your statement is probably, you have to ask what's the goal of the current format, and those people wanted to change it. I'm not really sure what the goal is. You know, some people say the goal is student athlete well-being, and the matches took too long before, but it was my understanding that the student athletes weren't interested in this shortened, bastardized format. So I'm not really sure what the motivation there is, but I guess it makes sense. If the doubles took 20 minutes each, and that's three matches are each worth 20 minutes, that's 60 minutes of tennis. So for every 60 minutes of tennis you play, you roughly can earn 1 point for your team. So one singles match takes about 60 minutes, you can earn a point. And I guess it looks like that's how they're looking at it here, because it doesn't make sense any other way. No ad scoring, 1 6-game set. Maybe it's for warm up. I don't know.
Have you been to matches lately? Where have you been? You said you just got back from the National Indoors.
Yeah, I went down to Charlottesville for the National Indoors. I was down there. And, I thought it was interesting. I won't say I thought it was enjoyable, but it was interesting. There's no longer any etiquette. There's no etiquette by players. There's little etiquette by coaches. I saw, coaches arguing with players. I saw players, as you say there, who are, on the trip who aren't in the match. The language, the behavior, the decorum would have been unacceptable for me as a coach. But maybe I sound like an old guy now. You're down there with Notre Dame playing. I actually thought that Notre Dame's extra players behaved poorly a couple years ago when Notre Dame played Columbia to qualify for the National Indoors at Notre Dame. Players yelling between serves, and I don't quite agree that that's what's going to draw people to the match. I actually sent an email to Ryan Satcher, the coach, and said, hey, tough match. Fans were a little unruly, huh? And the fans looked like they were your players. But he said, his response to me was, well, that's what happens nowadays. You should go to TCU, where it's really rough. So, everything seems to be changing. Someone at some point is going to have to take a look here and say, okay, are all these changes good or not good? And I'm not sure what the measurement of that is. you know, good changes. If something changes for the good, then I think a sport gains popularity. And I can tell you that I coach junior players. I take them to tournaments. I see less players in the draws today than ever before, so popularity has certainly waned. You know, the college programs in the state of Maryland, I believe we have left two men's programs, Mount St. Mary's and Loyola. Every other program is either dropped or being dropped after this season. So, you know, something's not great here and needs to be addressed. And I'm afraid that the folks who are in the middle of it, you know, the college coaches themselves can't see the forest for the trees, unfortunately. And I wish they could do something to, you know, make this sport more relevant for our local kids. You know, do something about the professionals who are playing. There are way too many professionals playing from both the United States and foreign countries, and that shouldn't be.
Sounds like we got a lot of fans here, Bruce.
Sounds like you do. You're indoors there. You're in Atlanta, one of the largest cities in the U.S.
Sounds like there's a lot. Well, let me tell you, one of the biggest reasons, or let me talk to you a little bit about and maybe get your reaction to some of this. You know, I look at these matches and I look at what's going on, and I tell you, there's so many other things that they could do to help the fans. They could start on time. They could probably do a little bit better about getting out in the community and meeting with the community and doing things. They could, you know, one of the things is they've got tech and everything, but they don't have the players' names up. So if you've got local players, they could probably do a better job of letting people know who the local players are and maybe even have their names on the back of the jersey. I don't know if that would work. But, you know, there's a variety of things that I see that they could do, you know, that they wouldn't have to change so much the format or the scoring or the NOAD or this or that. And they would still keep tennis, you know, or they still help keep it popular. Right now I'm here, I'm in an area where, I don't know if you know Patricia Jensen, Luke's mother, but a good majority of the fans that are here because she's got ball boys on all six courts. She's got four or five, six kids on every court. They got uniforms and everything else. And this is why so many of the people are here. Have you got any thoughts besides the changing of the format that would help garner them more fans?
Well, the question is, you know, of course, JP, again, not to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but back in my day, you know, our budgets were very small. So you did a lot of fundraising, and if you're going to do fundraising, you know, to have your team be able to travel and play and have equipment, you needed people in the local community to support you. If you needed people in the local community to support you, then you had to do something that would bring them out to the matches. And, you know, $100 a year from, you know, 25 different people, and all of a sudden you've got something going on equipment-wise or, you know, an extra road trip. So there was a need. I'm not sure that, you know, you really have to be an altruistic coach who wants to do something for the community to get out there and get involved in the community. If the challenge is, you know, if the goal here is like this, then I would suggest that you go to two out of three sets. Most of the places have, you know, they're used to using six courts. So let's use six courts. Let's play four singles and two doubles, each worth 1 point. And if it's a tie 3-3, let's go play overtime after. And let's have eight people playing in a match. Now there's somewhere for walk-ons, and there's a place for the American junior player once again to go play. And it could also be used as a developmental system. You want to play two matches in a day? Great. Then play 10-point match tiebreakers and play a doubleheader. You're playing one match, play two out of three sets, and finish the match until it's over. I mean, there are lots of things you can do, but the question is, you know, what would bring the most positive results? But the positive results for what? What's the goal? You always have to go back to what's the goal and what's the philosophy. You know, and tennis used to be, of course, it started off as a, like all sports at the college level, you know, an extracurricular activity that was used for young men and young women to develop character and develop some life skills. But, you know, sport has become entertainment, you know, as much as anything else, so it's probably no longer the same goal at the end of the day.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of whether or not, you know, changing the format and shortening it up and anything else is actually cutting out opportunities for us too. It certainly hasn't stopped. We lost another college program. I don't know if it was for men or not. This past week, Auburn Albany, I think, is no longer going to support college tennis for men. It's not the format that's going to make the change, I don't think. You tend to believe it's the format?
I think the format, you know, is that if they want, if you have a format that includes more athletes on the men's side, you know, the problem is people are comparing men's and women's tennis, and it's really not the same sport, because when you have 8 full scholarships on the women's side and you have 4.5 on the men's side, you're dealing with a couple of different situations. So, you know, it's they're 2 different animals. But I think if you create opportunities with meaning more people play in each match on the men's side, you know, then you need more players. That means you need more walk-ons. That means you need more coaching. That means you need more kids in the juniors who are playing, who have an opportunity to continue to play at the next level, because a lot of people believe that the playing of athletics at the collegiate level is good for the development of the person. And a lot of parents want their kids to participate in that way because they believe that will help them develop several life skills. That's my belief. I don't know if it's yours, but at the end of the day, to me, that's what it's all about.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm seeing. I mean, I do think it's having its effect. I'm seeing a lot less boys playing in the 16s and 18s. Do you see that up in your area? Are you seeing that?
Absolutely.
Do you see junior tennis as vibrant as it was when you and I were coming up?
I don't see it as vibrant as it was 5 years ago. You know, I think that every year goes by, and I don't know if it's what's just happening with opportunity. There's other athletic opportunities perhaps for kids. You know, perhaps they're just choosing not to play sport. I don't know. But certainly I don't see the draws as vibrant, as full as they were not too long ago.
I've got with me right now Bruce Scott Grothy. Scott, where are you? You're here in the Atlanta area, and you coach. You also do some stuff with high school tennis, correct?
I'm a high school coach over at the Buford program in Buford, Georgia. We got a really nice new program over there. We're really doing well with things, and you know, trying to shoot for some college opportunities for our kids in the long term. So, you know, we're real interested in seeing where this is all going to go and how the format changes are going to affect things and where our numbers are going to be in the future. You know, we definitely want local opportunities for kids, and you know, we're looking forward to making that stuff happen here in Atlanta.
Do you like watching the NOAB more than you like watching the? To me, for example, Bruce, I don't know if you've seen this, but to me, unless you've got that person like they did at UGA back in the day, the umpire in the chair who holds up the red card and says a 3-all point, these 3-all points just slide by. You don't see them happen. All that excitement that they're talking about having built up, it goes by and it doesn't happen. It just happens so quick. I at least was drawn. My eye was drawn to matches where it was a struggle between Doosad.
Yeah, and I love
the
battle of tennis.
The same thing holds true,
battle.
JP. When it's Doosad, that slides by also, and no one notices because.
Hang on, Bruce. Hang on.
Sports scoring at the same time.
Played it quick. I'm not sure that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the long term battle and being able to sort things out and fight for it in the long run. So we'll just have to see how things go in the future. You know, we got what we got now, so we got to work with it. But looking forward to the discussion.
Bruce, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, it's the same thing before where when you've got 6 matches all going on at the same time, you know, the thing is people settle into usually 1 court at a time, a court where they know somebody, a roommate, a fraternity brother, a sorority sister, a child, a nephew, a cousin, a former student. So it's very difficult to watch 6 courts all at the same time. You know, so no ad or ad, you know, what makes it exciting is if you get down to that court. For example, you know, when singles used to end and it was 4-2, so you went out to play doubles on only 3 courts, and then if one of those courts ended and now you are really watching 2 courts and the match was on the line but there was only 2 courts of action going on, you know, this, of course, is very exciting. So, you know, I think that's the main difference, that right now you've got the doubles going on and it really is irrelevant. And then the singles goes on, all 6 courts are happening at the same time, and then they start coming off bang, 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 one after the other, and then all of a sudden someone has 4 and the match is over, 4-1, 4-2. And yes, when it gets to 3-all and the last match on is 4 the match, it's very exciting. And everyone's attention is focused on that court. So whether it's no ad or do sad, it's very exciting. But that is more the exception than the rule. Whereas before, you know, when you were younger and you played and you coached and there were three doubles match going on after singles, attention was usually came down to three courts, two courts, or one court, less often one, but almost all the time three or two, which was easy for the fan base to focus on, which made things very exciting.
Scott, what format do you guys use here in Georgia high school tennis?
Two out of three sets with a tiebreaker for the third. If it's non-region, region's full play with ads. So we play out full sets, two out of three with ads.
Is it simultaneous play? Are you playing doubles and singles at the same time?
Depend on the number of courts. You know, lots of places we're limited on court space, so we basically will run whatever we can. You know, we'll be one doubles, one singles, and then we'll run through as we can. We're playing boys and girls together, so a lot of times court space is limited.
Bruce.
Yeah.
I like your idea. I mean, I would personally rather see, you know, three. I'd love that, actually. Four singles out there, two doubles matches out there, or what, five singles and one doubles match, and then if it's all tied up, are you
overtime?
Does that actually, if you have four singles matches and two doubles matches, you're actually getting two more guys. Probably two more guys are getting an opportunity to play in a match.
Not only are two more guys playing, but I think then you play overtime. Overtime, you play. You can either play three doubles or one singles and two doubles, and everybody has to play in the same order that they appear in the match. You can't take your number one single guy and stick them down there three doubles. Keep the players in order, and I think you talk about excitement. Boy, a 10-point match tiebreaker after you've had the two out of three sets, that's very exciting. I can't think of anything more exciting.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to real quick, Bruce, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to keep going. I might even talk to you a little bit about what's going on with the I hope Scott's not going to shrink away from it, but I want to know about this equal pay for play with the women. So when we get right back, we'll go into that a little bit. So everybody hang on. We'll be right back. If you want to call in, the number to call in is 646-652-4856.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. All of you know that I take pride in calling it the way it is. And boy, oh boy, is it an exciting time in tennis. The 10 and under stuff, the juniors, the pros, and college. If you want to hear the cutting edge of the real stuff and not just the diluted and watered down fluff, folks, listen to Coach J.P. Weber on the We Coach Tennis program every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Here on the Yellow Ball Network.
Hi, coaches and players. If you play on a tennis court in the Southeast, you've probably played on a tennis court designed, constructed, lighted, or resurfaced by courtmakers.com. Marshall Dye and the guys at Courtmakers will work on any type of court. From my experience with them, they work in a professional manner, they show up on time like they say they will, and they never leave a mess. Courtmakers can provide for all equipment needs. Call them at 770-795-8400. 770-795-8400. That's courtmakers.com.
All right, we're back here at the Georgia Tech match. Right now, there's four matches on. It's pretty tight, the second set of court six, court five, they're 5-3 Notre Dame, six all at court four. Could be over here in a second, Bruce, and then it'll get a lot quiet, a little bit more quiet for the last bit. At two, Notre Dame's trying to win a match there. You know, this ACC conference, it's just been all over the place in terms of results. I don't know if you guys have been watching. I watched a little bit, because I have some interest in Clemson and whatnot, but Clemson beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat this guy. You can't tell. There is a lot of – there are also, I think, maybe, you know, and I think it goes to Coach Creasy's point, Bruce, and he doesn't like it, but, you know, you get these crazy upsets that happen now in with this format. Do you subscribe to that idea as well, or do you believe, like, everybody or some of these other guys that – No matter what the format, the best players are going to come out on top.
You know, JP, that's a tough question. I think that the length of the season, you know, can of course cause fatigue sometimes because the players don't play as much as they used to, so perhaps they're not prepared to play as the season wears on. But I think the better players ultimately went out in the 2 out of 3 set singles matches. You know, the no-add scoring, it makes the points more valuable, you know, suggesting that the gambler, so to say, wins. Sure, if they get hot, that could happen. But I think there's just a lot of parity. You've got a lot of teams that are very similar. I don't know that the height of college tennis on the men's side is better than it used to be, but I think the depth of it's pretty good. It looks like there are a whole lot of players. I was looking at the rankings recently, and it looked like to be about, you know, 70 international guys ranked in the top 100. That's a lot of good players and a lot of schools that didn't used to have strong programs. So I think there's a great deal of parity. There's a lot of good tennis being played out there. A lot of professionals playing college tennis. It's a high level.
Well, part of it, though, is, Bruce, there's about, if I'm not mistaken, when you and I were playing, there's about 300 less programs that offer college tennis for men. So you do see, I mean, some of that strength that you see at, you know, in tennis is because there's less chance for players to make teams, right?
Yeah, there's less opportunities at the Division I level, and there's also, I believe also, JP, there's a greater stigma attached today to the school that you attend. You know, if we go back 20, 30, 40 years, you know, when we were going to college, you know, it was still, going to college was a good thing, something that we all aspired to do. You know, my parents didn't go to college at high school. You know, grandparents were immigrants. There was a lot of that, you know, for us who were born in the early 60s. So it was a different time. Just going to college was good. But now that we've been to college, we're looking for our kids to go to, quote, better schools. What does that mean? You know, higher ranked schools academically. Some reason we attach value and meaning to that. That seems like what the world's become. And that seems to take a higher priority over playing the sport if you can afford to go to college. You know, certainly it's a question of, did you need the scholarship when you went to college in order to attend college? In which case, you went to school wherever you could get the scholarship. Nowadays, I'm not sure how much that applies across the board. So that's a tough call to make.
You know, I've seen Scott, you're a high school coach here. I've seen in Georgia, I've been here since 96, and I've had several players that were actually really good. They end up deciding they don't want to go to Tech. They end up going to UGA. They do the Hope, and they just play club tennis, or they don't play tennis anymore at all. Whereas back, you know, when I was growing up, a kid like that would end up, like Bruce said, going to another school and playing. Do you see some of that going on as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, the other opportunities are out there, too. I think, you know, I'm just going to go back to the amount of programs that we're losing. You know, I think there's other opportunities for kids to participate in other things that they didn't have previously. I mean, the tennis programs were stronger opportunities for kids back in the day. I think there's other sports that are unfortunately taking up a lot of space, and there's not much that we're going to do about that other than just trying to compete with those sports head to head and getting our kids to excel and trying to go to the programs that we want to support. And you know, I think the opportunities are there, but you know, we're going to have to try and figure out how to have the kids you know, find the right pathways for them. You know, here in Atlanta, we got a lot of opportunities. We got a lot of kids playing tennis, but you know, how many of them are going to get the opportunities to be out here playing matches like this? You know, I'm hopeful quite a few, but we'll just have to keep working.
So, Bruce, are you still with us? I'm checking
on
the technical difficulties. So, Bruce, the match is over. The match finished about 6 minutes ago. That's singles and doubles finished in less than 2 hours, about 1 hour and 50 minutes. It finished about 1 hour and 52 minutes. Now, to me, that just doesn't – I used to be able to go – I'd drive over to Athens. There's no way I'm going to get in a car and drive an hour and a half to Athens to watch a match now when the chances are, you know, by the time you get there, you get – you know, you don't know what traffic's going to be like. You're not going to go watch a match. I just don't think the shortness of the match is going to make us any more relevant. But that's my – Bruce, I'll give you the last word on the format, and then we're going to move on to something else.
I don't think, JP, the format – I think the format has to be less confusing. I think that they're making a mistake, those who – whoever they are who make the decisions, that putting a format on there that's less confusing doesn't necessarily mean shorter. you know, because you still play doubles and everyone goes on the court and everyone comes off the court. And what was that worth? That was worth one. But they played three matches wrong. No, that's not a match. That's a set. Oh, then what's a match? Well, a match is two out of three sets. Why didn't they play two out of three sets? Oh, because doubles only plays one set. Why do they do that in doubles? Well, now they got to go out and play singles. Oh, why'd they stop the play? Oh, the match is over. But they didn't play two out of three sets. Oh, but one team got four. It's just too confusing. So the problem isn't the time. It doesn't make sense to the layman or the non-tennis person. Plus, what do most league tennis people play? They play doubles. So why not have doubles to have a greater emphasis instead of a lesser emphasis and put them out there in a simultaneous format? Of course, they lost two doubles. Everyone can keep track. Oh, there's the match. Two out of three sets. What happens if it's tied 3-3? Ooh, then we get overtime. Boy, that would be exciting. So, you know, I think that's the format. That's the idea. But, you know, that's just my humble opinion.
And if you know who's playing and you know the people, you're into it. But if you're a fan that's coming out here to watch this, you're exactly right, Bruce. The format's confusing. Who's playing who's confusing. And now, Notre Dame's done a good job and Georgia Tech's done a good job. They've got great uniforms. Notre Dame's got a big ND on the front of theirs. Georgia Tech's got a big GT on the front of theirs. But, you know, you go to some of these smaller schools. They've got T-shirts. You know, they don't identify. They're not able to do it. You take a Creasy at the Citadel who's brought his guys up. You know, they're not doing as much. But you're exactly right. I think the level of confusion is there. Let me switch to something else. This week, Djokovic came out and said that he felt like that the men probably deserved to get more than the women, and he was royally criticized for that. Ray Moore lost his job. He made a comment about the same thing. He was the director of the tournament in Indian Wells, and then Serena comes out, Bruce, and she says that if she has a son or a daughter, she wants them to make the same. And, you know, I do see something wrong with it. My problem that I have with it goes back when I'm looking at college tennis and some of the abuse. I think it's a little bit it tends to get abusive when you talk about gender equity and you talk about Title IX and the way they fund the programs, the way they do stuff. You know, the team at Notre Dame had the women's team. They had to figure out ways to spend money. They had to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. They had to buy great meals. They had to waste this, waste that. You know, they had shoes out, you know, galore, because they had to spend the same amount, if not more, than the men. Your thoughts on Serena and Djokovic and some of the comments that were made?
Well, I think we're mixing up a couple of different things there. One of them is, you know, Title IX is a government mandate that the universities have to comply with. So that's different than professional tennis, which is not, I don't even really call it sport. It's the entertainment business, just as much as the NBA is the entertainment business or the NHL or the WNBA or anything like that. And in business, you know, in a business, the business is there to make money. So professional tennis is there to make money. Professional tennis is there as entertainment. You know, we don't forget men and women for a while. Just consider the products. There's a product called ATP Tour. There's a product called WTA Tour. There's just like in boxing, there's a heavyweight, there's a lightweight, there's a cruiserweight, there's welterweight. Well, those people don't all make the same amount of money. It's supply and demand. When Thomas Hearns and Ray Leonard were all the rage, these guys made a fortune as boxers. But welterweights haven't made a whole lot of money since then, or whatever weight they fought at. When Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and George Foreman was around, and when Mike Tyson was popular, the heavyweights made the big money because it's entertainment, and that's who people want to see. So, you know, whoever the people want to see and whatever the people, the sponsors will pay money for on the TV commercials and the TV stations want to put on TV and the people want to fill the stands, I believe that that's a business. So, you know, Serena, if she said something about her son and daughter, I think she's going to get some opportunity at a public high school or a university or a middle school. The opportunity should be equal for men and women. Absolutely, 100%. But when it comes to business, you know, I don't get to make the same money in the stock market as another fellow gets to make if he does it better than I do it. But that's something that there's intelligence involved there. Here we're just talking about the entertainment product. You know, do men and women singers all make the same money? No. Whoever's the best singer, man or woman, more people buy their album, and there you go. They make more money. You know, does the WNBA make the same money as the NBA? No, why not? Because the NBA has larger contracts with people who with the TV and the commercials. So they make more money. It's got nothing to do with men and women. There's a product, and a product has people who want it, supply and demand. So if the women, more people want the women's product, they should make more money than the men. If more women want the men's product, but I don't think you can separate the two because historically, you know, tennis is intertwined. You know, when we go back to the late 60s when open tennis began, tennis was an amateur sport. And the amateur sport, you know, at the time, at the Grand Slams, the men and women played together. Then out of that came the MIPTC, the Men's International Professional Tennis Council, the ATP, which ultimately combined together, and the women started their own tour. Where the Virginia Slims sponsored them. They keep coming back together again because the truth is, does it make for a good event? Can you have more fans interested when you have a Miami tournament or an Indian Wells tournament and men and women are together? Sure, it's more interesting. You know, more family members want to come. Someone might like women. Someone might like men. Someone might like men's doubles. Someone might like women's doubles. But I don't know in those events if there's any possible way to separate it. But if you could separate them, then whoever sponsors want, they make more money. It's business. It's not sport.
Scott, what are your thoughts here?
I mean, there's a great platform for both female and male athletes to do really well. You know, I mean, it's just a matter of how you maximize your time and what you're doing. It's a difficult conversation to have, regardless of whether you're talking about sport or you're talking about business or you're talking about equality in the universities or the high school systems or your educational systems. I mean, you know, inequity is there. It's the reality in the world. And, you know, at this point in time, we've got to figure out, again, how to smooth the edges and make everybody as comfortable as possible. But I think we've got a great platform provided for everybody. And, you know, you got to maximize your own time. You know, JP and I do similar things, but I'm certain that we're probably doing, you know, different things to maximize our time and our value. So, you know, I mean, providing an equal platform for people is a very difficult thing to do as far as I'm concerned. You know, you got to excel in your own right. So,
see, what I don't want to see, though, is I don't want to see us, and I say this a little bit, you know, I suppose you could hear sarcasm in it, but I don't want to encumber the women anymore. You know, if we're a burden to the women, I would prefer let the women, you know, garner the fans that they can garner. Let the men garner. I don't see putting dollars from the men's tour out there to support the women's tour and helping them at this stage. I don't see that. I don't. To me, that's not something that works. And you know, in Serena's case, you know, where she's staying, her son, it's like Bruce said, if her son, Bruce, you and I talked about this earlier, if her son's an actor and her daughter's an actor and her son's, you know, he's attracting billion-dollar, you know, blockbuster films and daughter's only able to, you know, do some indie films, you know, don't garner a lot of dollars, she's not going to get paid the same amount. And I think, though, that I'm you know, I think that people look at men and women's sports for different reasons, Bruce. If you want to look, if you want to watch the strongest human being in the world, you're going to watch a man. If you're going to watch the fastest human being in the world, you're going to watch a woman. If you're going to watch the quickest, you know, some of these qualities, you're going to watch the men. If you're going to watch the biggest surf, you're going to watch men. Now, if you're going to look for other qualities, you're going to look for grace. You're going to look for, you know, I mean, I can tell you right now, I don't want or desire, and I don't think people do, want to see men's gymnastics as much as they want to see women's gymnastics. You know what I mean? You're going to get a different quality from the two. Am I right?
Well, that's all personal preference. You know, that's what that is. I mean, Serena, you know, Serena's one of the greatest athletes in the history of athletics. I mean, just look at her record over her lifetime. And that is, by in and of itself, a phenomenal achievement. She's worked very hard. And she's dominated the sport at different times, along with a sister who at one point was dominated the sport with her. You know, and once again, we cannot continue to mix together. I don't know why people want to mix together when they say, oh, you know, the women would get killed by a college player. It's not relevant. They're completely different products. You know, women's tennis is women's tennis, men's tennis is men's tennis. They're both fantastic in their own right. They have plenty to offer everybody. But what you said before, what you asked about it, all these comments everybody's making, you know, it's very difficult to try to be fair, as they say, but you can only be consistent. And certainly there's a benefit for these tournaments being together. Tournaments are going to be together, then you probably have to have some level of equality, because I don't know how you could separate the gate or the TV. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if the pensions are the same. Maybe the men's pension is different because they've got, you know, more dollars coming in sponsor dollars. But if they separate the two, then you'll find out real quick. Remember, again, this is the only sport that does this. There's others. You know, in track and field, that's got men and women. But who do you think gets paid the most appearance money at the meet? The world record holder, the men's 100 meter, or a man or woman who runs, you know, 3 miles, 3,000 meters, 5,000 meters, whatever. It's the same everywhere, supply and demand.
Well, one sells over the other, and so I mean, I think you have to look at that. I mean, I do think there is the myth we've operated for a long time after Riggs. You know, you can't have a rational conversation with a lot of people. You and I both know that. Maybe Scott, you're familiar enough to know that. Like you said, Bruce, I remember buddy man Andre Janicek and his brother practicing with Martina in Hilton Head, and they never lost a set to Martina. The idea that you know, they're, it's not just that. I mean, there is this idea that's out there that somehow it's not only do they deserve it, you know, there are people that are sure as rain that Serena can beat a lot of these guys. And I don't think, you know, wow. I don't think that's the case, but I think that's right. where it kind of operates. A lot of this stuff operates upon that premise. And I understand what you're saying, that it's not immaterial.
It's not. You know, people want to turn it into, you know, remember, in this country that we live in, we're a great country, but we also do like to choose sides. Democrat, Republican, you know, immigrant, not immigrant. You know, and they like to, a lot of people like to turn things into, like a lot of people like to be victims. A lot of people like to be you against us, them against us. So, you know, anyone who's intelligent knows that you shouldn't compare the two. They're all marvelous athletes in their own right. They all do what they do fantastically well, and it's not relevant. You want to be a great man player, you've got to have to beat men. You want to be a great female player, you have to beat women. And you have to celebrate those people for what they are and not mix them together.
Scott?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, once you start mixing up the events, I mean, that's where you're going to start having the issues as far as what they're looking for. When you've got the Miami, you've got Indian Wells, you get the men and the women playing together, that's a whole different story. When we're running the tour separately, it's a whole different world. You know, I'm assuming that, you know, the ATP Tour is garnering a little bit more energy, and they're driving a little better machine at this point. So, you know, how does that all work out in the long run? You know, we got to just figure out who people want to watch and figure out how we're going to support the different activities that we have. You know, I mean, if I'm going to have a choice, I know who I'm going to watch, but that's my choice, I suppose.
There we go.
Bruce and Scott, let me ask you guys. Let's move on to something else. Let me ask you guys. So we've talked about it and alluded to it. And Bruce, maybe I can get you to. I think that we've lost a lot of our male men's tennis players because of the fact that the programs have been decimated for male tennis players. We're down. You know, I don't know the number. Some people want to say it's. I think Coach Creasy's got a number like 400. Some people say it's much less than 400. There's a lot less opportunity out there, and you lose two or three programs. It seems like every 2 or 3 months we're losing programs for men. And I think it's due to the fact that athletic directors are, you know, somehow not wanting to support funding the tennis programs. So we're losing the interest on the level of the boy. You know, we're losing tennis players at the age. They make a decision, in my opinion, Bruce, around 14, 15, or 16. They look at it, they see it's going to be really tough, and they just decide they don't want to play anymore. What's going to change that?
Well, you know, JP, you've got to go back to why do you play in the first place? You know, again, I think everything always goes back to a base philosophy you've got to have. You know, why did I play sports, you know, as a kid? My mom and my dad thought that this would be a great way to learn life lessons. You know, in other sports, we could win or lose based on somebody else, you know, passing or playing defense. So I decided to put all my efforts into being a tennis player because I got to be 100% responsible for the outcome. So that's how and why I chose tennis. So, you know, I stuck by it because I had some aspiration what I wanted to do. And nobody was squelching my dreams of someday wanting to be a professional tennis player. And did I have the talent? Probably not. You know, did I have the size? Probably not. Did I have the athleticism? Probably not. But the journey along the way, my dad knew, would teach me the life skills that would help me be successful and be able to function as an independent adult for the rest of my life. So, hey, pursue it. Give it all you got and let the chips fall where they may. I hear parents tell all the kids now, you know, you don't want to put too much time into this. You're not going to be a professional player, but you're going to have to get a job one day. You're going to have to get into a good college, et cetera, et cetera. And they're afraid to let their kids fail and maybe have hopes and dreams and put all their chips in a big basket and then let the chips fall where they may. So they protect the kids from failing, and I think that has less kids playing. Certainly, there's always room.
But, Bruce, you had a carrot. You had the carrot. You had a chance to have a scholarship. You knew that. You could tell you had buddies.
Well,
you
had
pals.
I had a scholarship.
You were told
about it.
So, I mean, they don't have that now. What are we going to need to do to change that for the guys so they can see it differently than they are now? The girls, obviously, I don't think it's really affected the girls. We still don't get the numbers of players and girls. Girls' 18s are not full. Girls' 16s are not full. So, you know, increasing opportunities for the females, I don't think it increased. What it ended up doing was college coaches went out and recruited more foreign girls. They didn't recruit American girls.
Well, you know, well, let's put it like this, JP. We all agree that the number of opportunities for both men and women have declined due to the programs closing down. Few women and more men's programs have closed down. But anytime you take a program away, you eliminate opportunities. Now, we also can all agree by just looking at the facts that a lot of the scholarship dollars and opportunities are taken up by players who a lot of people feel don't belong in college tennis. Call them professional, call them what you want. Now, we all agree that the majority of those players who have played unmonitored financially for the duration of their career reside outside the United States because there are prize money opportunities in every country because we are the last country in the world that has amateur sport. Amateur sport does not exist anywhere else. Ever since the Olympic movement became professional, every other country stopped with the amateur sports. We're the only one, and we have it because of college. One would think that if there are less opportunities and those opportunities being taken up by international players who are questionable whether they are actually amateurs or not, then you know you have to come up with a system that eliminates those athletes. That's easy enough to do. You know, there's no other sport. A player can't go and play Major League Baseball and then play college baseball. He can play college football after he played Major League Baseball. A player can't go play in the NBA and then go play in college basketball. So why are players allowed to go out and play on the professional tour and then come to college? So if you eliminate the professionals who don't belong there in the first place, you know, you get a few more opportunities back, and that may be just enough carrot for some kids to want to work towards. Who knows?
Let me, Bruce, jump in and go back to, you know, when we were growing up, the opportunities to play and excel at tennis, there weren't that many other things. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to go and play lacrosse. I didn't have the opportunity to go and play soccer. I didn't have the opportunity. You know, we were baseball, football, basketball, and tennis. You know, nowadays I think there's so many more things for kids to get involved with and more opportunities for kids as youngsters to explore. You know, it's making our job more difficult to compete regardless. You know, and I think that's completely, the platform has completely changed. I mean, universities are offering different sports, different programs for kids to participate in, and I think that unfortunately, you know, we've lost a lot of opportunity due to that.
Scott, you're part of an association of high school coaches here in Georgia. Do the high school coaches, would you guys like to see a limit put on foreign players?
You know, I mean, I'm here supporting Georgia Tech because we've got 6 out of 9 guys here that are kids from the States, and I'm pretty happy about that. I'm a big supporter of American tennis, but I'm not somebody that says that opportunities should be closed down for people that are not from the States. But I would like to see, you know, teams full of American kids, obviously. I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Bruce, would you put a limit on the number of foreigners that come in?
I don't have a problem with foreign players. I have a problem with professional players. And if you eliminate the professional players, I think you coincidentally take care of a lot of international players who don't belong in college because it's not a fair playing ground for the American player. You know, either that or we're going to have to – either that or the USA should come back and say, okay, let's start putting prize money in junior tournaments. We want to grow the sport. So if we start introducing prize money in junior tournaments, more people play tennis, then we'll be playing on an equal playing ground with everybody else.
And speaking of that, here's the thing. You know, one of the reasons they made the change in the switch was so that they didn't go over a certain amount of time. Now what do? They play up to the 3 hours, Bruce? I mean, when it's over, it's over. They're nothingless matches. You know, they don't mean – I wouldn't. I'd like to see them played out myself. But the fact remains that they, you know, they switched this format because it wasn't going to last too long, and they're still playing. But back to the foreign players. I'm not of the mind to limit foreigners in any way. What I would rather see happen, what I would love to see happen instead is this. Bruce, if you're at Miami of Ohio, when you were at Miami of Ohio, if Bruce, and I don't know if you know that's where Bruce was, Scott. Miami of Ohio, great coach there. Tennis Magazine did a thing on him one time. They said he was the funnest coach in all the United States to play for. So Bruce is the coach at Miami of Ohio. He does it with American kids. Let's say he does it with all Americans, no foreigners, and he wins his conference. USG is spending it's now close to $1 billion on the roof. $500 million. Put out $1 million to collegiate tennis and reward a coach like Bruce who did it with all Americans. You know, buy him a Playmate ball machine with a scissors lift. Buy him this, buy him that. Give him extra money. You know, help fund his program. Help him put stuff together like Dick Gould did, where he can endow. Bruce, you were at Miami Ohio. You could endow a scholarship. You know, you didn't have a full. You weren't fully funded at Miami Ohio, were you?
No, two scholarships.
Yeah, you weren't fully funded. So can you imagine? Reward a program that's doing it with all Americans. You know, reward them in some way. Do some kind of reward. Imagine that. Don't you think that would work well instead of saying, okay, this, because all they're going to do is cheat. They're going to go, what are they going to, you know what they're going to do, Bruce, when you say that? They're going to hide the money better. They'll figure out a way to hide the money. They'll figure a way to expense it out. Or, you know, like they do now, you know, so-and-so is from Saddlebrook, Florida, you know, and via Madrid, Spain.
Yeah, you know,
still
if,
there,
if the USTA, you know, if the USTA wants to step in and say, okay, Albany, don't drop your program. You know, we're willing to, donate X dollars a year to your program. But I don't think they'll ever do that because, once again, it's business. The USTA, they're business. They're not about tennis. They're about the U.S. Open, which is their largest form of revenue.
That's not their
business.
They're not a for-profit, but they're not a for-profit business, Bruce. They're a non-profit, and what's happened is they've been allowed to operate like a for-profit. I mean, they fly on the nicest jet. I'm not going to say the name of the girl, pro player, out on tour right now. Everybody knows her. She was here for the Australian Open qualifier. You know what they had her doing, Bruce? She was here in Atlanta trying to do this qualifier. They were flying her back and forth for lessons with who's the Spaniard? Jose Higueras in California. First class flights back and forth for lessons with him. I mean, you know, they're spending money like that, and we're not spending money on, you know, on programs. They want to know why tennis. Georgia Tech just clinched another match. I don't think Notre Dame's gotten a match yet. Anyway, they spent so much money. They spent so much money in wasteful ways. I mean, it's a waste. They're paying Higueras still. I think PMAC is still getting paid. Bruce, I mean, there's ways. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to try and finish it up. If you had to take steps, and I'm going to ask both of you in the last few minutes here. You got a couple minutes each of you. Bruce, if you've got to take steps and you want to see, you know, us – I hang on to some millennials and hang on. You know, millennials aren't joining the game. We're losing it at both ends of the game. The baby boomers are leaving the game. The people, the millennials who are, you know, just getting out of college, they're not in it. Or, the kids that are in college, the high school kids, they're not in it. What would you do, Bruce, to increase play at that level?
Boy, that's a good question, JP. That's a real good question. And, you know, I don't know that you can increase the whole
lot. And you got 2 minutes.
I've always believed that we're a fringe sport. We're only for a certain type of person. Now, you've got to have a certain personality that's both confrontational yet achievement-oriented. And there's not a lot of that. And it costs a lot of money to play the sport. But having said that, I still think it lies at the college level. I think it's about opportunities. Create more opportunities at the college level for the American junior player, and you'll have more American juniors playing tennis. I think it's that's my formula. That's it. Create a way that more kids can play, and more kids can play in one of two ways. Either a format that allows more kids to play, or the elimination of a bunch of players now who are taking up spots that don't belong there. Either one gets the same job done and offers opportunity to the American junior, and I believe that grows the game. That would be my answer. That's how I would do it.
What step? Okay, you're PMAC. What step would you take if they let you in charge? You got one step to accomplish the goal you just mentioned. Real quick, what would be the first thing you'd try to do? I've never had Bruce tongue tied. That was to you, Bruce.
I don't know who you're asking. I can't hear their chat.
I'm asking you. I'm asking Bruce. What would be your one quick step that you would take?
I mean, about saving money or about getting more kids to play?
Getting more kids to play college tennis.
Creating opportunities for those kids at the college level.
How do you do it?
I'd get rid of all the player development money that's wasted on that. I put it into more education for coaches. Then all the coaches could be better out there doing whatever it is they do, and we could work together. And the kids would be the beneficiary of that, and then we could all play tennis at a higher level. I'd offer more playing opportunities for the young pros, a carrot out there to say, hey, you want to be a pro tennis player? Let's offer every guy who's trying to be a pro tennis player a place to train for free. In exchange for their training, they work with the juniors for free who come there to train. I mean, there's plenty of systems you can use, but you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and that's what they all do. I mean, look, Kalamazoo last year with Francis Tiafoe won it, beat Kozlov in the finals. Semifinals, you had the Fritz boy and someone else. Who would have guessed that those four kids, the Fritz kid's going to be the top 100 player right now? Well, so, you know, you never know where the guy's going to come from, who's going to be the player, and who might represent for the next generation of people who want to be a tennis player. But so you have to have everyone involved.
Well, that sounds like a good thing, a good mentoring program. You know, Bruce, I'm gonna take the next
opportunity here to say something. I'll give you one concrete example. I'll give you one great example. I'm here watching this Georgia Tech match, and there are so many kids here watching this match. So many kids playing, and they're ball kids and things of that nature. I'll tell you one thing I would do. I'd definitely get the USGA involved in something like this. I'd be giving somebody like Patricia Jensen that's doing something like this a grant. Every year she'd have a grant. They got no money to do this. They got no money to put it together. I'd be giving her money to put this together. That would be one quick step. Scott, I'm going to let you have the last word on this. What would you do if they made you emperor for a day?
I was king of the world, man. I tell you what, I'm a high school coach, and I really believe in the high school system, but it definitely needs to be worked on. I would provide more opportunities to get more real coaches in the high school system, maybe set up some sort of a national championship working through high school tennis and junior high school tennis, and figure out how to start culling some people off and providing more opportunities to play at a higher level for the kids that might not have that. You know, we got a lot of kids here that travel, and they travel the South, and they get lucky. They got people that will sponsor them and take them all over and play great stuff. But, you know, a lot of these kids that play high school tennis, we provided them with an opportunity. Maybe we'd be able to see some neat results from that. You know, creating a great foundation is what we really need to do. You know, we've got to provide opportunities so that we can build on those opportunities.
Scott, thanks for dropping by. Bruce, I appreciate you chiming in here today. I appreciate it. This is kind of neat. How loud was it, Bruce, on your end? Was it hard to hear?
It's loud. It was loud.
It was loud.
Very loud.
Well, there aren't as many. It's indoors. It's not as many as it sounds like. But it actually is fun to watch at college. I think it's one of the best products out there. We're going to cut it short here. I appreciate you guys coming on, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks a lot for joining us here at Georgia Tech today for the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Check in here with us every Tuesday at noon and listen to another great coach talk about what makes their program a success.
No.